can't, by the way, right? But if we could get to the level, theoretically it's possible because Torah protects you. On the other hand, the person has to be able to control himself that he does not alienate people with his Torah on the one hand. On the other hand, he has to make sure to be totally immersed. The Vilna Gaon, his sister came to see the Vilna Gaon after about 50 years. They hadn't seen each other for about 50 years. And his sister came to see him, right? And they were talking. After 10 minutes, the Vilna Gaon said, you know, asked her about her family and her kids. He said to her, he grabbed his beard. And he said to her, do you see my beard? My beard has turned white. You know what that means? They sent me a message from heaven that I don't have much time left here, right? I can't waste my time schmoozing, right? Went back into his room, and he started learning and left her to talk to his wife. That's a very well-known story about the Vilna Gaon. We're not the Vilna Gaon. When you can sleep 2 hours out of every 24, right, then let me know, and we'll exempt you from any social responsibility. But the Vilna Gaon he was known to sleep 2 hours out of every 24, and even then, never more than a half hour at a time. He would put it, right, and then he would go carry on learning, and out of every 24, I think he did that 3 times in the course of the night, and 1 half hour during the course of the day. That's how this is his children documented in the book on his life. That's how he lived his life. What I found fascinating was I later heard that in medical science they discovered that out of every 8 hours sleep that we sleep at night, the only sleep that refreshes us is what's called, right, the rapid eye movement sleep. And out of every 8 hours of sleep at night, 2 of those hours are, there's a total of 2 hours of REM. I found that was fascinating because I have a sneaking suspicion that the Vilna Gaon, the same way he knew everything else about everything in the world, right, he probably knew how to get right into REM, right? How to get into REM and not waste any time doing it. In fact, I don't think he lived his life, he wasn't walking around dead tired all day, right? I think that he knew how to maximize that amount of sleep, you know, using the 2 hours. So whether he did or didn't, the Vilna Gaon, that was his talent, that was his ability, and therefore at that level, he says, I have to learn Torah. The movement of Hasidus in the 1700s, Baal Shem Tov, they adopted the word Hasidim to describe their movement because the word Hasid is a description of a certain level of dedication to God. Everybody knows what a tzaddik is. A tzaddik is a very righteous man. A Hasid is somebody who's on a higher level than a tzaddik. What's the difference between the two? A tzaddik is somebody who has battles overcome. He's got a battle with his Yetzer Hara, and he overcomes his Yetzer Hara, he succeeds against his Yetzer Hara. The chassid is somebody who has so much, he no longer even has those desires. Now, he may have battles at a higher level, right? But he has basically uprooted certain desires. That means, what's our attitude when you're walking down the street and you go walking past a non-kosher a bakery, right? It's 8 o'clock in the morning, you haven't had breakfast yet, you walk past this non-kosher bakery, smells some fresh danishes, right? Oof, fresh, it smells terrible, trafe danishes at 8 o'clock in the morning. Really? Right? It felt pretty good to me, right? I know every time I go to the States, I walk into the local supermarket, right? They have this fresh bakery there. It smells pretty good. Right? I actually go over and I take a look at the cake. Gee, you know, it looks pretty good, right? That's our attitude shouldn't be, ooh, tray, yuck, right? My yuck, right? There used to be a commercial on television. People told me about it. There used to be a commercial on television I think it was Swizzler Steakhouse. Sizzlers, right? They must have given me wrong information. I thought it was Sizzlers. Sizzlers Steakhouse, right? Do you remember the commercial was? They show you this beautiful steak, and I think they show you a lobster and a golden potato, and at the end of the commercial, this guy with one of these more classic commercial voices, he goes, if you've seen this commercial and I come to Sizzlers, then you aren't hungry, right? That was the commercial, right? He's absolutely right. Because it looked good. It looked great. It didn't look good. It looked great. Our attitude is supposed to love to eat the Danish, but the Torah prohibits me from eating the Danish. That's what our attitude is supposed to be. What about somebody who's a chassid? Unless some of you guys are hidden chassidim, which I don't know. If I'm correctly, that's supposed to be your attitude, that's supposed to be my attitude. Who's risen above that? Somebody who's risen above that is supposed to get the chassid is to the point where he truly has no desire for it. One thing to look, it's one thing to see something you shouldn't see, something inappropriate, and overcome your desire. It's another thing to not even have the desire, to eradicate the desire completely. The chassid is on the level, not that he never had the desire. He used to have the desire. He is so dedicated to himself to God that he looks at it as a child's play. It is no longer something that even interests him. Now, the Vilna Gaon, or anybody else at that level, trying to completely eradicate any type of desire, wants to minimize all pleasure, any pleasure experiences from this world. Right? He feels his job in serving God is to not get any pleasure out of the physical. Our job is not like that, because we're simply not at that level. Our job is to eat the food, enjoy the food, and thank God. Our job is not to eat the food and say, okay, I'm about to eat an ice cream sundae, but I'm going to try swallowing it without chewing. Right? So I don't taste any of it. I'm going to punish myself as I put another smattering of butter on my toast, right? But I'm not going to taste. That's not our job. Our job is to eat the waffles with the syrup and just remember that who it is that gave us the syrup and who it is that gave us the waffles. Make the broth as well. That's what our job is. That's the difference.
Why shouldn't someone who really represents why does he have to refrain from that? Why can't he show that the physical pleasures in the world are actually meant by enjoyment rather than do them, use them?
Because that's not the ultimate level. That is the. It depends where you're holding. If you're even beyond that point, next level is to show that you don't even have the desire. The only reason you're serving God that way is because you still got the desire for it. You desire the waffles and syrup. Therefore, your weight. Should we desire them? No. We should get to the point where we don't desire them, right? But while we're not at that point, we are. But that takes a long time, right? It's not we care of the letter of the law. Then we could worry about getting to the point where we'll be at. It takes a lifetime to get to that point. Right? You're talking about the Vilna Gaon as a spiritual giant. How many people in a generation do you think get there? That's why I say, in our day and age, it's very, very rare. There's only me and a few others. Right? It's very, very rare. You have to get to the point where you're really at that level. I didn't even notice it going down. Right? I have to test myself periodically. Right? And there was nothing to it, guys. Don't waste your money. Right? But that's, in every generation, how many people are like that? And a person has to be the critical. Right, that's correct. That's where people think. People over. Shlomo HaMelech writes in Ecclesiastes, in Kohelos, he writes, "Alti tzadik harbe, be too big a tzadik. Are more than you are." Obviously, you have to strive to grow, but don't jump too far in your service of God. When Jacob had the dream and he saw the ladder, that ladder is an indication that when you climb, Jacob has a dream. Right. So, what does the ladder indicate? Two things. Number one, the sky's the limit. Right? We're down here on the earth, but the sky's the limit. We can reach all the way up there, yet only going up the ladder. Right? Jacob did not dream of an elevator. He didn't dream of a rocket ship. He dreamt of a ladder. The ladder has rungs. That means we're told you're meant to climb up the rungs one rung at a time. One rung at a time, because if you jump too far, that's when you start falling. You reach too high and you don't get there, then you don't go right. You don't stay where you are. If you're climbing a ladder, you reach for a higher rung than you should be, and you miss it, you don't end up where you are. What happens to you? Doink, 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 doink. Right? You go falling all the way down the ladder. Right? And that's the key in Avodas Hashem, is to know where you're holding. And if you have any doubt where you're holding, that's when you have to have a mentor. Because your mentor can tell you, he can see better the rule. Not everything that feels good in the divine service of Hashem is right. Something that feels good, you know what? I think I'm going to go out in the forest by myself and I'm going to meditate for a few days. Then you come back a few days later, poison ivy probably, you come back a few days later, wow, I feel so spiritual. So you feel spiritual. So what? Who says feeling spiritual is the best way to save God, serve God? Maybe there are certain ways to serve God. You feel so spiritual. Maybe I feel a lot more spiritual if I don't eat matzah on Pesach. At the Seder night, instead of eating the matzah, I'd rather say psalms. I'd rather chant psalms instead of eating matzah. Such a grubby type of service of God to go eat matzah at the Seder table. You know what? I'll take out my Tehillim and I'll recite Tehillim. That's a way of serving God, and I feel very spiritual. Spiritual somewhere else. And that's why many movements have branched off in Judaism and eventually have gone lost. Right? They had an angle that the rest of us missed. I got an angle. I know how to serve God. They go off, and then they end up who knows where. Right? So it's very important to always remember that you have to make sure that if you don't have a mentor, either you make a self-assessment, and if you have any doubt about it, you do have to find somebody to ask who knows you well and what your spiritual needs could possibly be. Okay, so that is all contained in the mitzvah of putting salt on the... You wouldn't have thought it just reading the mitzvah.
Noah was a tzaddik, and that would be greater than anyone alive now.
That is... So it's subjective to the generation. It's also subjective to the generation, but the chassid nowadays... are there anybody in chassid? I'm sure there are people that overcome their desires. There are definitely people that have no desire for the, if you work at it long enough, you condition yourself long enough, eventually you eradicate the desire. Okay. Number 120 is the mitzvah for the court to bring a sacrifice, for the Sanhedrin to bring a sacrifice if they make a mistake in a certain judgment. It's going to be halacha, or a certain detail of a halacha. If the Sanhedrin got together, the chance of where the Sanhedrin were to err, then they have to bring a sacrifice as an atonement. And I didn't see any of the commentaries mention this, but I think that the rationale behind the mitzvah is pretty self-evident. The rationale behind the mitzvah is to show that even the Sanhedrin have to be willing to admit a mistake if they've made a mistake. Now, that means the Sanhedrin, who are one of the sages, the best and wisest sages of the people, even they have to be willing to admit a flaw if they've made a mistake. Right? Okay, 121, for an individual to bring a korban called a korban chatas. Korban chatas is a sin offering. This mitzvah is done if a person did an avera unintentionally. If a person did an avera unintentionally, where the punishment for the avera is premature death. What's an example? Let's say a person ate non-kosher food unintentionally. Right? What's the punishment for eating non-kosher food if you did it intentionally? Flogging, not premature death. Right? If you ate intentionally, the punishment is not premature death. It's not kares. What about somebody who sleeps with his sister? Or somebody who sleeps with a man sleeps with his wife, but his wife is menstruant, his wife is a nida, then the punishment is premature death. The punishment is kares. What if he intentionally slept with his wife while she was Anita? That means he didn't realize she was Anita. She forgot she was Anita. He forgot she was Anita. Right? Or if somebody eats intentionally on Yom Kippur, right? Person ate intentionally on Yom Kippur, right? What's the punishment? The punishment is, if you did intentionally, premature death. It's not death at the hands of the court. The court doesn't put you to death, right? Person eats on Yom Kippur, premature death. So a guy wakes up at 3 o'clock and he finds he's very thirsty, and he goes to the water and he has himself a little sandwich, right? Then the next morning he gets up and he goes to shul, and in the middle of davening he's thinking to himself, geez, not such a bad Yom Kippur after all, right? And all of a sudden, as he's standing there davening, he goes, boing, right? It registers, hey, Kippur, right? In the middle of Kippur service, he realizes in the middle of the night he had gotten up and eaten. At that point, he has to bring a sacrifice to the base of meat. He has to bring a sin offering because it was an unintentional avera. What's the obvious question? Why do you have to bring a sin offering? It was unintentional. It was an accident.
Right. If he would go all the time, and he wouldn't.
Oh, so the answer is very good. Exactly, exactly. The answer is, in every unintentional avera, there are different types of avera, there are different types of unintentional. If somebody were to take him and jam food down his mouth on Yom Kippur, right, that's not his fault. It's unavoidable, right? If somebody were to, a light switch on Shabbos, also an example, somebody pushes you, unintentional beyond the point of control. But if you just kind of walk over and you flick the light switch. Oops, right? There, the unintentional is still, there's a certain amount of negligence there, because if it was important, then you would have made it through Shabbos. You would have taken a precaution. I told you, if I gave you $50 hitting a light switch, you would do it. No question about it. You would come up with all sorts of imaginative ways to make sure not to flick light switches on Shabbos. You would either tape up the light switches, charge the entire electricity of the entire city for that Shabbos, right? One way or another, you would do something to make sure that you don't turn on a light switch on Shabbos, right? If it's important to do it. What do you have to do? You have to bring the sacrifice to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, something very interesting, did we speak about that? The mitzvah that a Kohen is a spiritual level, certain spiritual level, and you have to honor the Kohen, and you have to sanctify the Kohen. You know that the Kohen always gets the first aliyah? You know that? The Kohen called up the Torah first. The Kohen leads the benching, the Torah. The Kohen is the one that if you're sitting at the table, the Kohen has to take the food first. You're supposed to give the Kohen his choice. Do you know that? There's a halacha that you're sitting at the table. They bring out a platter of food. You have to honor the Kohen to take first. People don't remember that one. When they call to the Torah, that they let you. I'm a Kohen, by the way. People let you get called up to the Kohen, they let you bench first. Yet when the schnitzel comes out to the table, they got their face in the... It's a halacha. You have to honor the Kohen, right? You know you're not allowed to make use of the Kohen? You're not allowed to ask a Kohen to do you favors? Can't tell a Kohen to do something for you? Can't ask a Kohen to go in and do me a favor, take this, drop this off in the mailbox? You can't ask a Kohen to fix something for you. If you want to really get technical, you're not allowed to ask a Kohen to pass you the salt at the table. You cannot make use of a Kohen. That's how the Torah words it. That's how the halacha words it. Ain mishtamshim b'kohen. You're not allowed. I'm sorry about any particular halacha that you like this one or you don't like this one, but I definitely have any admiration for that. Halacha is you're not allowed to make use of a Kohen. Now, if the Kohen wants, obviously he can do it for you. If he feels that he likes you and he gets some enjoyment out of doing it, he can do it. And it's a very serious halacha, the same halacha, the same Shulchan Aruch that we're learning, that says that you're not allowed to hit light switches on Shabbos, the same Shulchan Aruch says that you're not allowed to make use of a Kohen. My wife is the daughter of a Kohen, but it doesn't apply to women. But could a Kohen ask a Kohen? They discuss it in halacha, for the Bir Halacha, and the Mishnah Berurah talks about that. It seems to indicate that he could, but even there, the Kohen should certainly not allow himself under any circumstances. The Kohen is not allowed to do something which is degrading. Right? Please close. The Kohen is not allowed to do anything degrading. The Kohen is not allowed to clean the muddy tire, anything like that, that he certainly can't do, even if he wants to. The Kohen's not allowed to do it. My wife once asked me to take the garbage. So I said to her, hey, you know, how does it look for me, a Kohen, to take the garbage? She said, put Kohen to go. It wasn't funny, Elon. It wasn't funny at all. There's nothing humorous about it. Everybody has their certain point of reasonability, so I took the garbage, right? Then I asked the halachic authority. I went to the halachic authority and said, hey, tell me something. You know, why am I allowed to take the garbage? Right? After all, I'm a Kohen. They said to me, because the garbage is not just hers. So, right? Some of the garbage belongs to you. You are allowed to take your own. It's an honor of a Kohen. Why do you think the Torah wants that? Why do you think the Torah requires that honor? When you bring your guilt offering, your sin offering to the base of Mikdash, who takes it from you? You put your hands on the head of the animal, and you confess your sin. You confess the avera that you've done for which you're bringing the animal. How would you feel if you're confessing your avera and the agent who's going to be a person like yourself, right? Therefore, the Torah says, you know what? You've got to view the Kohen as being on an elevated spiritual plateau so that when you have to bring the sacrifice to the base of Mikdash, you in no way feel that... Who likes being rebuked by somebody who they feel is a peer? We're only willing to accept rebuke by somebody we feel is spiritually greater than us. The Kohen, you come to the base of Mikdash, can you imagine in the base of Mikdash, Kohenim are sitting there, here Kohen says the other... Here comes Schwartz. I think he's the Yom Kippur eater, right? And Schwartz goes, hey Schwartz, it's a problem this time, huh? The old light switch on Shabbos, huh? Right? What's going on? Those be viewed as being in a certain spiritual light. Viewed in a certain way that they're on a spiritual level where none of that's going to be going on. Right? I mean, remember guys, time of the base of Migash, I'll be there to take your sacrifices, right? So you better be good. They can't, if they suspect that it won't work. Therefore, the Torah requires that Kohen has to be viewed by you because he is truly on a higher level, spiritual level, and therefore the people bringing their sacrifices will then, the effects of bringing the sacrifice will take, it'll take effect because you don't view the Kohen, you're not intimidated by him. He is somebody who you view as the spiritual mentor of the people. I told you that according to the Kabbalists, everybody goes through an incarnation as either Kohen or Levi or Yisrael. Right? We are spirit. So this time around, I'm on top, boys. Maybe next time it'll be a little different.
But that's anyone due to a lady?
One of the honors is you get to wash the hands of the Kohen every morning. Right? The base of Mikdash. They sang in the base of Mikdash, and they were also the guards, the gatekeepers in the base of Mikdash.